Good morning and welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. And it is back to school time, but that doesn't mean you have to remain indoors at all times. The upcoming weekend is predicted to be beautiful, and summer is not technically over until September 22nd. Today on All Sides Weekend, we're going to talk about things to do this weekend and over Labor Day weekend, and we'll learn how to get the most out of the end of summer. And then later in the hour, we will look ahead to fall. Joining me in the studio is Columbus Dispatch travel writer Steve Stevens. Good morning.
Hi, Amy. It's great to be here.
And Columbus Alive reporter and venture columnist John Ross.
Morning, Amy.
And Ohio State Parks Public Information Section Manager Gene Bax.
Hi, Amy. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Thanks for being here. And I did want to start with John, because you recently wrote about windsurfing in Central Ohio, and when I saw the picture of you windsurfing, I thought, where is he?
Actually, not too far away. I was right up in Westerville's Hoover Reservoir. There's a guy, Doug Golding, who runs the Wind Over Water Sailing School right on the reservoir. He runs it out of his little ranch house, and he's got tons of boats. He's got both windsurfers and small sailing boats, and he's one of the coolest, nicest guys I've met in a long time. He is very hands-on. He runs regular classes. I think there's some through the end of September. Basically, you can do a two-day seminar. You'll learn about physics of sailing and then actually get out onto the water. It was something else.
Wow. So it was in Galena, right? Is that right?
It was actually in Galena, yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of on the east. You guys, everybody starts kind of on the eastern edge of the reservoir. But it's not too far from Columbus, and everything's really laid back, and he's a great teacher. He worked for boating safety for years and years and years, so he really knows his stuff.
Well, who knew windsurfing right here in Central Ohio?
True.
I had no idea. And had you been windsurfing before?
Or I had been windsurfing with a pretty awful teacher when I was a teenager, and so I had some pretty bad habits that I was working with. But he fixed those, and you know, I like to think that, you know, I have a pretty good aptitude for stuff on water, but, you know, I didn't really have any experience. And by the end of the class, you know, a couple hours, I was riding along pretty good clip.
I would think that this would be the time now to do something like that, windsurfing, or try an interesting water sport, because the water would be pretty warm and, you know, you'd have that advantage of maybe not freezing.
Yeah. We did not need a wetsuit, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. It was a great time. And now it's not 90 degrees, too, so the sun's not, you know, going to be beating down on you. This is probably, you're right, probably perfect time.
Steve, have you ever done anything interesting like that you wouldn't expect out of Central Ohio, like windsurfing?
Out of Central Ohio? Well, of course, we were just talking about zip lining.
And oh, yeah.
That is something that is gaining in popularity, and there are places popping up all over the state. And used to be you had to go east or west to find them. But now there are some really fun courses not too far away.
Yeah, Gene, ziplining at Hocking Hill State Park, is that a part of the state park or is that away from the park?
It's not part of the state park.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Away from the park.
Well, then let's have someone else talk about it. It's not part of the state park. Tell me about ziplining. There's more places than just Hocking Hills. That's just where I've heard
of
it.
Well,
most.
That was the first one, Hocking Hills Canopy Tour at Rockbridge.
Yeah.
And actually, they have a new zipline that John can talk about because I haven't experienced it, but I hear it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they basically the main tour that Steve is mentioning opened up, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, and it has a series of zips. I think there's 11 shorter zips, but this year they unleashed their biggest and baddest one. It's called the Super Zip, and it's like 2 or 3 times as long as anything else. It costs $25 per ride. It's taller, it's super fast, and one of the cool things is that you can go down seated like you normally do through the regular tour, or you can go through what they call Superman style, which is basically face first laying flat on this kind of special harness.
Oh, wow.
You pretty much feel like Iron Man. That's what we were talking about before. And you,
well, who needs Cedar Point when you can do that? Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's something else. And it's super fast. I think you go up to like 55 miles an hour and you fly over the Hocking River and you can see your reflection as this like little bullet in a harness flying along the zip line. It's cool.
And that's part of it. It's so beautiful there. And especially I would think that this fall when the leaves start to turn, it's really going to be an amazing thing to experience.
I would book early for that. I think you're absolutely right, Steve.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you have to
make reservations to do something like that?
The zip line tours, it's usually good if you're going, especially if you're going to bring a small group to make advanced registration. I'm not sure how many slots they keep open for walk-ins, but I think the super zip, just because it's a one and done kind of thing, is definitely okay for walk-ups. If you're down in Hocking Hills State Park and coming back, and you want to stop and do something fun, it'd probably be okay to do that.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. And Gene, I did want to talk about, you know, we have to get it out of the way. We have to talk about the algae a little bit. I know that there are a few state parks who had to have the water, certain lakes closed because of algae problems. But then, as we heard this morning, Grand Lake St. Mary's is now back open for boating. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about that. Not my area of expertise, however. There are a handful of lakes currently that have the advisory for toxins, and then a few more that have a bloom advisory. And, of course, the blue-green algae, it's naturally occurring. Not all algae blooms create toxins, but the park staffs are being vigilant about looking for them. And if they see anything that looks suspicious out of the ordinary, then it's tested. And any detect level, then we have a posting. The lake's not closed. You can enter at your own risk, but we want the public to know. So it's on the Ohio Department of Natural Resources website, ohiodnr.com, if you want to check out what's going on at the various lakes. Of course, you know, the weather's cooling off, and so we've seen some progress at Grand Lake St. Mary's. Pleased about that. So the weather conditions this summer did not help with the situation, but 60 more lakes out there, so plenty of opportunities for swimming, fishing, and boating still.
So you said there's advisories right now on 8 lakes, but there's 60 total, right?
Yeah, more than 60 around the state, just in the state parks. And, of course, you know, it could happen anywhere, any lake. Doesn't have to be a state park lake.
But, yes, of course.
Sure.
of course. We'll say it.
Of course.
And who is doing the checking? Is it the Department of Natural Resources that does the testing?
And the Ohio EPA, mm-hmm. And there's a multidisciplinary group that's been working hard all summer long to ride hard on this issue and make sure that we're erring on the side of caution, and any place where there's any concern, we're letting the public know.
So is that something that you just check the website in advance if you have plans for the weekend, or go out, ask a park ranger, how's it looking?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And, of course, there's plenty of things to do on land. So
of course.
Yeah. Doesn't have to spoil your plans.
Well, then let's talk about the brand new state park that you just opened. When did it open?
Wingfoot Lake State Park. The dedication ceremony was last night, and
oh, wow.
Today is pretty much opening day. So this newest state park is located southeast of Akron, and it's day use, and there is everything to do there that you can possibly think of, and it is just beautiful. It used to be a park for the Goodyear employees. They used to have their company picnics there, and I talked to quite a few families where generations of folks worked at Goodyear, and many, many happy memories that these people had of coming there as children and getting to play mini golf and volleyball and badminton and bocce ball and tennis, and all those things are still there. A beautiful little lake. There's a blimp hangar on the opposite shore. So.
Oh, well, that's convenient. I can fly my blimp up there. I didn't realize that.
You'll want to have reservations to land your blimp.
I was about to say, why a blimp hanger, but then Goodyear. Okay. I'm slow today. So yeah. I'm with you.
That's okay. Yeah. Blimp rides, I don't know. But yeah. Anyhow, it is a beautiful place, and it is now open to the general public. It used to be kind of for exclusive use of Goodyear employees and their families. So there was a lot of excitement that this historic place is being preserved and kind of rejuvenated as a state park, open and free for all.
How does that work, that just over the course of a few months did people decide, maybe we should turn this into a state park? How does that become? Does the state like buy the land, or
there is a wildlife area, mm-hmm. And the lake had been stocked by the Goodyear Fish and Hunt Club. There are also a lot; it's very attractive to sportsmen, and so it was very popular for that purpose also. So it was actually the Division of Wildlife that saw the opportunity to purchase this parcel of land on the north shore of the lake and make it open once again for those sportsmen's opportunities. The state park is managing the park facilities because that makes sense with our mission. That's what we do.
So that's a brand new place, great place to maybe spend Labor Day weekend since it's new. Maybe a lot of people hadn't heard about it. So.
That's right. Wonderful place to spend Labor Day weekend.
So it's called Wingfoot Lake State Park. Where does that name come from? Do you know?
That is the Goodyear logo. And I did a little research.
Here I am. I'm slow.
There you go.
That's okay. Check out my blimp in the parking lot. We'll see.
Okay. It dates back to the early 1900s. And it's the, let's see, I think Hermes, the messenger of the god, it's his winged foot. So.
Okay, and obviously since it's called Wingfoot Lake State Park, then there's a nice lake.
Yes. there's a lovely lake.
Okay, so like, is there no camping there? Is it mainly picnic?
Right, there's no camping there. There are several other camping opportunities in that area, though. There's a couple of state parks. There's a Cuyahoga Valley National Recreation Area, so you could camp at Portage Lakes, for instance, and go on over to Wingfoot for the day.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich, and joining me today is John Ross with Columbus Alive, Steve Stevens with The Dispatch, and you were just listening to Gene Bax with Ohio State Parks. And we want to hear from you. Where do you spend these waning days of summer? 614-292-8513, or send us an email to allsides@wosu.org. And Steve, I know you like to spend a lot of your days at Big Darby.
Right? Oh, yes. Well, I actually live on the Little Darby, yes. So I can go on and on and on. But it's a beautiful place and beautiful, actually, scenic drive up along there, a designated state scenic byway up into Union County. And that's also a fun thing to do this time of year. There are several scenic byways in the state. There's a really nice website called OhioByways.com that lists them all, maps, and so you can check those out, a whole bunch of pretty areas around the state. It's always fun to go to a new place, a new part of the state, and just kind of drive and explore. So
yeah, early fall is a good time. You can drive with your windows down.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There are a couple. I have several favorite fall drives, but along the Big Darby is beautiful.
Recently, you've been writing, you've been traveling a lot outside of Ohio. How do you decide, or does someone tell you, how do you decide where you're going to travel to, whether you stay in the state or if you go around? I know you were in Kentucky, you were in Pennsylvania, you've been all over the place.
Well, we look for kind of a news peg, is something new going on. We also look and see where our readers want to go. And we try to do a lot of regional day trips, but then we also look a little bit beyond Ohio to places where a lot of our readers like to go. We do a lot of Florida stories. We're doing a couple stories on Ohio State football road destinations this year. I just got back from Minneapolis, so we'll be doing a story there and one from Iowa City, which is a remarkably lovely little town, but you'll have to read about that a little later in the year. But so there's all sorts of factors involved, we're just kind of trying to find places that are going to appeal to our readers.
And do you take suggestions, too? Do people sometimes email you and say you should really check out this bed and breakfast?
We've actually gotten a lot of good ideas through readers, especially places like bed and breakfast that are kind of hard to ferret out if you haven't been there, or little lesser-known spots. We do rely on folks emailing up and saying, hey, check this out. It's really cool. And we often do.
And John, from reading your venture column, you tend to stay more in Ohio. I was looking at you have a venture map that has little pinpoints, and you have a lot of places just all around Ohio, mainly, you know, the bigger, larger central Ohio.
Sure, sure. Yeah, my goal is to really preach the gospel that Ohio is the intermediate day trip capital of the world.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I don't have quite the reach that you do, Steve, but I'm pretty content with that, actually. I make it outside the Buckeye State a couple of times a year, but I guess I'm kind of a state homebody.
And there's so much to do. There really is. I mean, people just sometimes we take for granted what's right around us,
sure.
I say. And so and if folks, you know, this day of limited travel budget, the kind of stories that we do, you do and I do, and nearby are great. And that's, again, where Ohio State Parks come in, too, because those are some great, inexpensive destinations.
Certainly.
And how do we find your venture map? Where do we go? To Columbus Alive website?
Yeah, you can click to columbusalive.com/venture, VENTURE. And like you said, yeah, I'm trying to make it as easy and user-friendly as possible. It's got just about 100 places at this point, just little pegs on a Google terrain map, and you can click those and get driving directions, trip guides, trail reviews, slideshows, basically all the content from everywhere I've been in the last 3 or 4 years. So, like, I think you're right, Steve, that we often take for granted the stuff that's closest by. You know, I remember a couple weeks ago, a buddy of mine who keeps bees, he and I drove up to Waldo, Ohio, and had this fried bologna sandwich and learned that Waldo, Ohio is both a beekeeping and fried bologna capital of the Midwest. And it's like, you know, those little treasures, Ohio is just so full of them.
I was just in Oberlin, Ohio, spent some time for the first time yesterday. Beautiful college town.
Sure, sure.
And you'll be reading more about that in the Dispatch, of course. But these little places dotted all over the state that are just really kind of hidden gems.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, and you've got the cultural stuff, you've got the historical stuff, and you know, my focus is primarily kind of the more active side of those mm-hmm. things, and Ohio is great for that too. And, you know, I've always made the case that, you know, we don't have maybe some of the big ticket outdoor items, mountains, you know, an ocean coast, a rainforest, but, you know, we have this terrain that's really varied and, you know, it just allows you to practice some skills and then take them elsewhere.
We've got these beautiful cornfields, John, not just all over. Yes.
Well, one day you can be in a cornfield, the next day you can be ziplining,
sure,
and then
sure.
the next day you can be at a brand new state park, right? Well, this is All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich. Call 614-292-8513 or send us an email to allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and leave us a message there. We'll be back right after this break. This is WOSU 820. NPR News. On your morning commute, get the stories behind the headlines with Morning Edition.
It's very important that policyholders read their policies from cover to cover because there may be some changes that are being implemented by the company that they may not agree with.
Homeowners insurance in Ohio is the sixth lowest in the country for average premiums. An average policy here costs $548 a year compared to Florida, where it costs about $1,500.
Start your day with the award-winning WOSU News Team on WOSU 89.7 FM.
Developed by WOSU Public Media and the Columbus Metropolitan Library, ColumbusNeighborhoods.org features over 30 neighborhoods in and around Columbus and allows users to tell their own stories, post their own photos and video, and contribute to the collective story of Columbus. To be a part of this multimedia public engagement project or to learn more, visit ColumbusNeighborhoods.org.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich. This morning, we're talking about last-minute day trips to get the most out of the end of summer. And later in the hour, we're going to preview a few things to do in the fall. In the studio with me is Ohio State Parks Public Information Section Manager Gene Bax. Thanks for being here again.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me.
And Columbus Live Venture columnist John Ross. Thanks,
Amy.
John.
Hello.
And Columbus Dispatch travel writer Steve Stevens.
Hey, Amy. Always great to be here.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. That's how you can join the conversation. Tell us about your trip that you have planned for Labor Day weekend. Maybe you have a special getaway that you want to tip others to, and you want to give a few end of summer travel tips. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And John, I want to hear about your cowboy weekend. You went from being a city guy to a cowboy in a day.
That's true. It was I went down to, actually, it's pretty much you would want to start your headquarters in Logan, and basically I did some horseback riding at the Spotted Horse Ranch in Laurelville, which is nearby. Then I ate some delicious barbecue at the Millstone BBQ right there in Logan, and then I got to shoot some clay pigeons at Hidden Haven Shooting Preserve in Sugar Grove. So basically, yeah, I'm a little bit of a city slicker 5 days of the week, but this was something else. You know, I got some guided horseback rides. You know, they have these Appaloosas, very nice, user-friendly horses. We went through some nature trails, did some hills, walked some fields, and then great meal, and then shot a shotgun. So pretty nice little Saturday, actually.
I want to know how you do with the clay pigeons.
I shot a Glock 9 once with my a friend's family had some guns, and we went up to Blackwing. So I had not had very much experience, and I was actually a pretty good shot. I was 6 for 10.
That would be much better than me, I'm sure. So you wrote, you know, for city folks, you can ride a horse, eat barbecue, and shoot stuff.
Yes. And I think that's a pretty good weekend getaway. Perfect time to do right now. You know, if people are looking to get that last hurrah before the cold weather sets in, that's a great way to do it for sure.
Now, did you like wear cowboy boots and take a cowboy hat?
You might as well go whole hog yeah. if you're going to do that.
Did you go all out?
I did not have appropriate gear, no. Jeans and a t-shirt. I know, I failed.
Okay. Well, so a cowboy weekend, that's an interesting trip. And Gene, why don't you tell us about the Blue Rock State Park. It's just south of Zanesville. You have a campground there that reopened recently.
Yes. They were having water quality issues. And,
oh, okay.
So they made sure that there was water available for campers and other folks visiting the park.
I think when I read it, I thought that the campground had been closed for another reason. So, okay.
It's a beautiful little park.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And it's very beautiful, kind of unknown. I mean, Dillon State Park is the more popular park in that area. And it's a nice park, too. But if you really want to kind of get away from it all, Blue Rock is the place.
And nice drive along the Muskingum River.
Oh, absolutely.
Along Route 60. It's really pretty little historic towns. And the river itself, the lock and dam system.
The
is
old
an historic
locks, the old hand-operated
civil
locks.
Engineering
so, landmark.
Wonderful to see. So, yeah, neat.
And another thing I wanted to hear about, you have an owl outing. Is it coming up this weekend at Caesar Creek?
Yeah, yes, it is.
What's an owl outing?
That
obviously,
is,
looking for owls.
Looking for owls. You take a hike right around dark, and you'll have a naturalist with you who's pretty proficient at calling in owls, and before long, you'll be hearing them hooting everywhere.
Do you have to make a reservation? How do you participate in an owl outing?
No, you don't need to make a reservation. You can just show up. I believe they take off from the Nature Center. So if you're staying at the park or if you're in the area, that's a really fun evening thing to do.
Is that something that you could do any time of the year? Is end of August just like a good time to see owls?
Really any time of year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the state park campgrounds have naturalist programs every weekend. And so a night hike like that would be something that you might find on a naturalist schedule pretty typically. They creek walks in the afternoon and night hikes where you might attempt to call in owls. And look at spider eyes.
Oh, wait, what's that?
Oh, that's fun. You can take a hike, and right after dark, if you hold your flashlight along the tip of your nose and point it down in vegetation, you'll see bright little green orbs glowing back at you. Those are spiders.
Ooh. I don't know that I've ever. Wait, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Well, there's something to try, I guess.
There's nothing to do in Ohio.
No, you could have seen a demonstration if it weren't radio. But
Of course. The limits of radio. Oh, I'm so sorry. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we have Alice on the line. Alice, what is your recommendation?
I wanted to recommend the Pawpaw Festival coming up. I believe it's the second week in September.
What is the Pawpaw Festival?
It is a celebration of Ohio's native fruit, and they have music venues, kids' tents, a lot of nonprofit organizations participate, and it's just a wonderful community atmosphere for those who are looking for a little bit of that hippie flair.
Can you tell us a little bit more about a pawpaw? Because I guess, whenever I hear, I thought at first I was thinking like dogs and paws, and so I wasn't thinking, I wasn't thinking Ohio's native fruit, but now I'm with you.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to describe. It's like if you were to take a mango and a banana, and it's like a tropical fruit that grows here in Ohio. That's the only way to explain it.
Okay. Well, we'll be sure.
Not so sweet.
Oh, they are delicious.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of pawpaw, food, beer. There's pawpaw beer, for example.
Okay. Ooh. Well, there you go.
I'm into that.
And I believe admission is under $10, and it goes on for 3 days. It's just a wonderful time. We've been trying to make it every year.
And tell us where that is again.
I believe it's in New Albany, Ohio. It's just outside Athens. And if you go to, if you just Google Pawpaw Festival, you will find the website.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that recommendation, Alice. Okay. And our whole panel's nodding. I think they want to chime in. Gene, what do you want to say about that?
As a follow-up to that, okay. Caesar Creek State Park, the same one that's offering the owl outing this weekend, is having a pawpaw hike toward the end of September, on September 26th. So
okay.
during the daylight, you can hike to the pawpaw patch and see what the pawpaws look like in the trees that they grow on.
You can get as much pawpaw as you want. John, you were nodding your head, too. Is this something that intrigues you, or were you just intrigued by the beer, too?
Well, we do like some beer at the Columbus Alive, but I personally like pawpaws, and I like that Alice is mentioning just the really awesome fabric of festivals that we have in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Basically, every small town in the state does something well and then throws a party during one weekend for it. You know, there's a lot of good ones coming up, and that's a really fun one.
Yeah, so not only are we the day trip capital of the United States, maybe we could be the regional festival capital.
We're the small town farm festival capital of the world, true.
There you
absolutely,
go.
Absolutely.
Well, what's a favorite festival for you, Steve?
Oh, I love the Pumpkin Festival, which is coming up down in Circleville. I mean, that's like the granddaddy of them all. That started the whole agricultural festival tsunami, I guess. And it really is it's fun. And, you know, the whole town really throws a party. And it's beautiful there that time of year. I kind of like driving down to that area. And then continuing on into Laurelville. Laurelville Fruit Company. You can get apple cider slushy, and then just continue on down US 56 down toward Hocking Hill State Park. And that is just an awesome fall trip.
I may not know much about pawpaw, but I know about pumpkin, and I know about the Pumpkin Festival, which I love. John, did you have the dates for that? I thought maybe...
Yes. Circleville Pumpkin Show actually it starts on a Wednesday. It's going to run October 21st through the 24th this year. So, and I'm with Steve. I actually got to interview some of the people who grow their giant pumpkins, and it was really just interesting to see that how big they can grow those things down there, man. They had to bring a flatbed truck just to haul it in from the pumpkin patch to the showgrounds. It was something else. They I think they have to feed it like 100 gallons of water a day. Or something crazy like that.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they get upwards of 1,300 pounds.
This is serious business, yes.
Serious business.
Serious business.
Oh, yeah. I have to give a shout out, by the way, for my in-laws to the Barnesville Pumpkin Festival, which is the last weekend in September. Similar format.
Okay, more than one.
Equally delightful.
Competing pumpkin festivals.
It would be kind of, you know, if you were in Barnesville, wouldn't it be tough to compete against Circleville? You got to give them a shout-out, though.
I don't know. I do have to give them a shout-out, or I would hear about it later. Yeah. But they grow pretty doggone big pumpkins. I'm thinking the master pumpkin was 1,100 pounds last year. It's big.
It's a big boy.
It's a big boy.
Yeah.
614-292-8513 or send us an email to allsides@wosu.org to join the conversation. And we have Denise on the line. What place would you like to tell us about?
Hello.
Hi, Denise.
Oh, hi. Sorry. Well, I was going to share that my husband and I made a travel goal a few years ago to stay in all of the Ohio State Park lodges.
Oh, and Jean is happy.
We've stayed in three of them so far, and we actually booked our fourth one for Labor Day weekend. And we've just found that to be a really neat way to see every part of the state because, I mean, they're just dotted all over the state. And, you know, you don't have to worry about camping gear. And, you know, you can just go stay in the lodge, do all of the hiking, and then just see all of the cool things in that area. And so I just thought I'd suggest that.
So where are you staying for Labor Day, Denise?
Houston Woods this time. So.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for that recommendation.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
That's my way to do state parks, by the way. I have done all the lodges and lodge over camping, my own personal opinion, but you have some beautiful lodges and you get kind of comfortable and then you can get out into nature.
That's true. And now, you know, they offer some deals also. They've got a Stay for Ace program. So if your kids get good report cards, they can help subsidize the cost of your family getaway. So yeah, definitely worth checking out their website and see what specials they offer.
Do you think we can still make reservations for Labor Day weekend or is it getting a little close?
Honestly, I'm not sure, but I would think that that there would be some availability.
If you're willing to, you know, go anywhere in the state, you could probably find one.
Yep.
Okay. Is that something, if you call, like, the state park system, they could help you? Because going through all, you know, dozens of state parks trying to find a place with an open slot might be time-consuming.
Right, yeah. And if you like to make reservations on the web or at least track down information, it's pretty easy to get to the specific one that you want to go to a couple different ways from the state park's website. Or all of them but Geneva are at 1-800-AT-A-PARK. Is the toll-free phone number to call and make reservations.
All right. And, John, what did you want to add about the state park lodges?
Oh, yeah. I just had a great time last winter at Shawnee. They had a great lodge. The cool thing, and, you know, I tend to stick more to the more rugged side of outdoor sleeping. But
so Steve will be in the lodge and you'll be on the ground.
Right. I'll be in a
we'll
tent.
We'll be out on a trail somewhere.
Right. Sure. But one thing I thought was cool about Shawnee is that you have really cushy, very nice lodgings. You know, there was a pool, there's a game room, there's a restaurant, there's a place to get a drink. And then that's situated within some of the state's most rugged and adventurous offerings. You know, Shawnee is hilly. It's in the most extreme southern part of the state. You've got, you know, Appalachian foothills. You've got just really dense old growth forests. So it was a nice kind of, you know, contrast where you'd have, you know, really tough hike and then a nice warm jacuzzi tub waiting for you when you get back.
Well, speaking of being a little rugged and adventurous, Steve, I want to hear about your whitewater rafting trip to West Virginia.
Oh, that. We took it was in April, so it was
that
the
was, yeah, it was a while ago, but I haven't been able to talk to you about
right.
it.
Right. Well, so. it was the first trip of the season, and
yeah.
The day dawned nice and chilly, and I thought, "Oh my gosh, what am I getting into?" But
did you sleep on the ground?
I slept in a primitive cabin.
Okay.
So I did sleep in a sleeping bag on a board of some kind. Mm-hmm. But anyway, be that as it may, it was a great trip and forgot all about the chilliness of the water after a little bit. And the white water in West Virginia is just terrific.
Where were you in West Virginia?
I was on the New River. We went and floated right down to the New River Bridge, the huge bridge where they mm-hmm. have the festival every year. And it was a lot of fun. So,
whitewater rafting seems like something John would be very into.
I've done that trip that you did, Steve. I just wanted to mention that mm-hmm. the festival that Steve's talking about is called Bridge Day, and it's basically a bridge or a base jumping festival. Like all these crazy guys get their small parachutes and they jump off the bridge. And if
but they don't make you do that.
No, you don't have
festival.
To do that. Okay. But for the spectator, it's really cool if you can time your raft trip to end at the bridge at the right time. You can see all these people floating down from
you
the sky.
You can grab their shoes off as they
your boat.
You know, and they're landing in the river, so you might be able to give them a ride if you really get your timing down. And that's the third weekend in October.
And okay. It's a beautiful place, a beautiful
sure
bridge, and that time of year again with the foliage.
Oh, man, it's something.
So they time it with whenever the leaves change for fall.
Yeah. It's spectacular.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurevich. Joining me in the studio is John Ross with Columbus Alive, Gene Bax with the Ohio State Parks, and Steve Stevens with the Columbus Dispatch. And we're talking about enjoying the last few weeks of summer. And after this break, we're going to look ahead to fall in Ohio. We'll be back with your calls and emails right here on WOSU 820 NPR News.
The U.S. Open begins Monday. On the next Fresh Air, former world number one ranked tennis player Andre Agassi. During the French Open finals in 1990, he was wearing a hairpiece that was falling apart.
It was the only time in my life I ever prayed for a result, and the result wasn't a win. The result was for my hair to stay on, because I didn't know what I would do if that thing came flying off on center court.
Join us.
Today at noon on WOSU 820, NPR News. See the new lineup of public affairs programming on Friday nights from WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record at 8:30. Continuing at 9 is the McLaughlin Group. And at 9:30, PBS presents Need to Know, a new program with an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Watch the new public affairs lineup every Friday night beginning at 8 on WOSU-TV.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, home sales plunge, mass murder in Mexico. A top Republican says I'm gay. Our weekly news roundtable goes behind the headlines. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Today at 1 on WOSU 820, NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich, and we're talking about summer and fall activities in and around Ohio. 614-292-8513. Or send us an email to allsides@wosu.org. You can also visit the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and make a comment there. Where is your favorite place to enjoy summer or fall? Do you have a tip on a great place to hike or bike this fall? 614-292-8513. And we have Ed on the line. Ed, what's your recommendation?
I would recommend the Yankee Peddler.
I'm sorry, Ed, we missed the very beginning of what you said. Can you say that again? Oh, and we're having some problems with our connection with Ed. I do not know what's wrong with Ed. But he wanted to recommend the Craft Festival in Canal Fulton. Does anyone know about that? No, I don't know.
No, but Canal Fulton is a cool little town. I know the town, and they have a restored actually, a recreated canal boat there. They give rides, horse-drawn canal rides there. They have a little canal museum, a canal center. So Canal Fulton is a fun place to go, kind of a nice little downtown area, a couple places to eat right on the old canal. So don't know about the festival, though.
Okay. Well, Ed, I'm sorry we were having trouble with your phone connection there, but we do have an email. We have an email that's talking about the Ohio Atlas, and it says, I recommend this atlas for Ohio back road travel. It shows every road in the state and how you can navigate statewide without ever using a freeway. If you use electronic navigation in your vehicle, the book can be a good trip planning tool as well. There are atlases for other states as well. So this is an email from Alex. Do you know about back road travel using an atlas?
I think Delorme is the publisher who has the Ohio Gazetteer that they publish.
And oh, okay. I skipped over that word because I didn't know how to say it. I got it.
And it does show. I mean, yeah. When you're out in the rural areas, it shows all the little back roads. And that can be a really cool thing. I have one, and I kind of keep it handy at all times. So if you're looking for a shortcut or just an interesting-looking route, or if you're stuck in traffic and want to try a different way and you're GPS refuses to tell you how to get off the main trail. Mm-hmm. It's a handy.
It shows attractions also.
Oh, yes, and state parks and all of those things.
Historic sites and covered bridges and anything.
It's a good resource.
It is a great resource.
And we have Dan on the line. Dan, what would you like to recommend, or do you have a question?
My question is, where can I actually camp along the Ohio River and see the river from my campsite?
The Muskingum River, well, I guess that wouldn't be the Ohio River, would it? That'd be the Muskingum River, sorry.
Have we stumped the panel?
Well, certainly if you're at Shawnee, you can get a view. You're not beside the river, but you're perched above the river.
I can go to other states and do it. I just wonder if there was a place in Ohio where I could actually just camp out, watch the river, watch traffic if it goes by. Okay, well, thank you.
All right. Sorry we couldn't help you out, Dan. Maybe you have given some of our panelists something that they may look into.
Actually, I was just in the car thinking, I don't go to the Ohio River enough.
Yeah.
Now that's an extra incentive to do so.
Here's
absolutely.
Your incentive to do so. And we have Greg on the line. Greg, what would you like to recommend?
Yeah, it's more on the activity side, but Skydive Green County in Xenia, Ohio.
Skydiving in Xenia, Ohio. Has anyone ever tried skydiving?
I have not skydived, but actually I have seen Skydive Green County, and it's kind of on my to-do list.
I volunteered John for the job.
I think
he should do it, write about it, and let us know.
I went on a hot air balloon ride. I'm not a huge fan of heights, so I figured if I can go up, then I can come back down. So I'm going to definitely try that next summer.
Greg, have you been skydiving?
Yes. Actually, I'm working on being a videographer at the drop zone itself. So I'm there pretty much every weekend, and it's good time, nice relaxed atmosphere, kind of combined with the intense skydiving, and everybody there is like family. So it's one of the oldest running drop zones in the Midwest, and it's just a nice little place.
Sounds like a great way to see Ohio from way up above. There you go.
Skydiveohio.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
And I haven't been, but I know people who have run out of that outfitter, and he mentioned that it's kind of like family, and they were very pleased, like they were first-time skydivers, and they had a real enjoyable – as enjoyable as an experience as you can have jumping out of your own plane, I guess.
Right.
So, they call it relaxed. I kind of doubt I would.
They were
relaxed
watching the how-to video, maybe. But everything was as least stressful as possible, I think.
Now,
you
mentioned a hot air balloon ride. Tell us a little bit about that. Where do you get a hot air balloon ride?
It was based out of a Georgian manor, which is a bed and breakfast near Logan. It was a... Hocking Hills Hot Air Ballooning is the company that actually ran the tour. And, yeah, it's really interesting. We went up. You have to get up super early in the morning or go kind of at sunset, so the wind is at its lowest kind of intensity. And you basically go up and float for a while. And eventually you hope that the van chasing you around can find you at the end. You basically the pilot describes that, you know, that just – he can kind of change elevation to catch a different wind current. But other than that, he said God drives it. So he kind of just float around the countryside and land wherever you can.
You seem a little bit nervous about this still, so we can move on. A man named Don called. He couldn't stay on the line, but he had a recommendation for Dan, our previous caller. He says that Wacky Fork State Park is a place where one can camp and see the Ohio River.
Wacky Fork?
That's what it says, Wacky Fork. Does that not even seem right?
Well, there's a Forked Run that's close to the Ohio River.
Do you think it has a nickname of Wacky Fork?
I kind of want to go to Wacky Fork.
Yeah.
I wish Don would have stayed on the line to tell us about Wacky Fork.
There is Forked Run in Meigs County. It's lovely. It's close. There's a boat launch on the Ohio River. I'm not sure if you can see the river from your campsite, but...
I don't know. Well, it's going to remain a mystery because Don is not on the line. He just left us a message. We also have an email that says, in Bainbridge, Ohio, the Fall Festival of Leaves. I go home every year to spend the weekend driving through the hills of southern Ohio and talking about the fall and taking in all of the fall leaves at the Fall Festival of Leaves.
Yeah, it's actually really awesome. Bainbridge is about 30 miles west of Chillicothe, and the Fall Festival of Leaves this year is running October 15th through the 17th. So you couldn't find a better place to see some fall foliage, and they've got kind of the usual agenda. There's a parade and crafts and vendors and live entertainment and things like that.
Okay. And Steve, where would you recommend seeing some fall leaves? Besides the obvious fall festival.
The obvious fall festival, sure. Well, again, the Hocking Hills region is a great place to go. Also, John Bryan State Park and Clifton Gorge, which is over near Yellow Springs and Xenia, is a beautiful place any time of year, but especially when the leaves start to turn. And again, that Ohio Byway site is a great place to find drives. There is an Ohio Byway all the way along the Ohio River, which we talked about. It kind of takes you through all the little towns, parallels the river all the way from East Liverpool all the way to Cincinnati. And then if you're feeling ambitious, the byway continues on down to Cairo, Illinois. So you can
And not too long ago, Steve, you wrote about you stayed at the Pines of Dresden Bed and Breakfast in Muskingum County, and you visited the Longer Burger Basket.
Oh yeah, that was an interesting experience. The Pines is a great bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. I can't recommend it highly enough. A really nice, knowledgeable young couple who actually came to Ohio to run this bed and breakfast. He's from Hawaii, she's from Oklahoma. And they looked for a bed and breakfast. They wanted to open one, and they found Dresden, Ohio. They thought this was the best spot they could find. And that says something. Dresden, of course, the home of Longer Burger Basket, and it brings in a lot of basket consultants. There's a lot of basket tourism in Dresden. So if you're into baskets, also a lot of cool little shops. Very friendly town. So, and it's the home of the world's largest basket. So,
yeah, can you tour the basket? Or can you just stand near the basket?
You just stand near the basket.
And you get your picture taken.
And you get your picture taken.
Yeah.
But there's also Longaberger gives tours of their factories. There's a factory outlet. You can make your own baskets. It's actually, I found it more engaging than I thought I would. I'm not exactly a basket person, but it is an interesting craft. And they do put on a good show at Longaberger.
Well, and we have Ed back on the line who called before with better reception, hopefully. Ed, are you there?
Well, yes, I was in the dropout area right outside the house.
Well, what would you like?
Mine's inside the house, which is annoying.
I have that, too, on my cell phone. Two things. First of all, Dresden, also, the Longaberger has one of the better golf courses. It's been rated very highly by a lot of the golf publications.
This is a good time of year for that, yes.
Yes. But that Yankee Peddler Craft Festival I was trying to talk about, it's the three weekends after Labor Day, which is kind of unusual in itself. It's in Canal Fulton. They started out as an old-time craft festival, and they kind of morphed into a combination of old-time and what they call Yankee Peddler today, which is more modern craft. They bill it as two festivals for the price of one. Hmm. And it's over several hundred acres, some of it wooded, some of it slightly more open field. And it's definitely a full-day trip. If you start early and get up there and wander around the grounds, they still have some of the exhibitors that dress in the older style costumes of colonial or maybe Civil War type. Everything from modern ceramics to hooked rugs to you know, just about you name it, as well as food and some of the old pageantry type stuff of like the colonial militia, things like that. But it's, like I say, the 11th, 12th, 18th, 19th, 25th, 26th. So it's the Saturday and Sunday, the three weekends after Labor Day.
Okay.
And it's at Clay's Park Resort is where it says it is.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much for that recommendation. Jean, did you want to add something?
I just wanted to say that sounds like a lot of fun, and it reminds me of Ohio Heritage Days at Malabar Farm, which mm-hmm. is later in September. If you're looking for if you like that kind of event and you're looking for something similar, Malabar Farm is just a beautiful place. You might start to see a little fall color since it's a little north of here. Mm-hmm. And
And if they haven't checked out Malabar Farm before, you really have to get there. It's a beautiful.
It is.
Trip.
A nice time to see it. It's a fun festival. Lots of
When is that festival? I'm looking at my list. I'm not finding it.
That is September 25th and 26th. And there is a barn dance on Saturday evening, the 25th, which is always a fun part of that event.
And I know that, John, you definitely we're running out of time. We have a few minutes left. But you wanted to talk about some non-traditional ways to see the leaves changing for fall.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have our favorite hiking trails, and obviously those are going to be exploding with a new beauty in the coming season. But I think it's really cool, especially to try out something like the Licking County Recreational Trail Network. Maybe do a paved multi-use trail ride and see the leaves that way, or maybe find a paddling trip. Matt Gibson, former co-founder of Clintonville Outfitters, has started a new kayaking outfitter where he does kind of these like little guided small group trips, and I know that he's running some through the middle or the end of October. That's at backwoododysseys.com. So a lot of ways to see the color other than hiking, which is something I'm really excited about this fall.
And something we mentioned earlier, zip lining as an interesting way. We were talking about that earlier. That would be a very unique and different way to see fall leaves.
You're probably going to get closer to the leaves on a zip line tour than any other way, which is good.
Mm-hmm. 614-292-8513. We still have a few minutes left, and we can get Sarah on the line. Sarah, what is your comment?
Well, I just wanted to make a quick correction that the Circleville Pumpkin Festival is not a festival. It is a show. It's the Circleville Pumpkin Show. And people get really touchy in town if you call it a festival.
Okay.
So I just wanted to clarify that people are pretty passionate Circleville about it being called a show, and that's their motto, the greatest free show on earth. So
what is your favorite part of the show?
I like the Queen's pageant the best.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What is involved in the Queen's pageant?
All the high schools in the Pickaway County area nominate queens to go up, and through a process of questions, just like a beauty pageant, they select the queen and they have a grand parade, and all the visiting queens from all the other festivals come, and it's really nice. Nice to see.
Okay, well, thank you for telling us about the Circleville Pumpkin Show.
And mea culpa. I called it a festival. John corrected me very kindly. So that was me. I'll take the bullet on that one. And I've been going for 30 years. I should know by now. But it is, yes, a show.
What about the one in Barnesville? Is it
That is a pumpkin
Festival.
Okay. Aha, the biggest pumpkin festival in Ohio.
And there are queens in a parade.
Okay, and we also have a call, if we remember the wacky problem from before. Don, Don has called. Don,
hi, well, that was supposed to be Rocky, but I made a mistake. I spelled Rocky like rocks you throw at people or something, I don't know.
That's, well, you know, things on the phone sometimes get a little...
Yeah. What happened, but I pulled out my Ohio map and I started looking for it, and I'm like, it used to be along the Ohio River, and actually, now that I look at it, I found out what it is. I messed up. It's actually Forked Run. I don't know if there's camping facilities, but 30 years ago, me and my dad would fly down there in an airplane, and we'd land on the abandoned landing strip, and we'd go through there and do some fishing. There's a little, it's called Shade River State Forest, and in there is a long, winding lake and stuff like that. But we took some fishing trips. We'd fly down there and land on the grass strip, and, you know, I don't, but that's been many, many years ago. But now it's Forked Run or Shade River State Forest just between Belpre and Pomeroy in Meigs County.
Okay, and hopefully we can see the Ohio River from there. Is that that's the goal we're talking about?
Okay. Yeah, it is. It is right there. I mean, okay. You know, you can look at it. It's on, it's around routes. What's here? What routes? Well, along 124, which is it's the entrance to the park, I believe, is on 124, which actually runs the Ohio River. I mean, runs right along the Ohio River.
Okay, well,
there was
thank you, Don.
That I thought was worth going, but I can't find it on the map. Me and some friends, we're interested in military history and so forth. Maybe you guys know about this. Up by, I can't remember where it was, but it's along the Pennsylvania border. There's a private museum that houses military vehicles, including several different types of American tanks and stuff like that. And it's a private organization. And,
okay. Does anyone on the panel know about that?
I can't remember what city was. I don't know if it was in Hubbard or around. It was not exactly, you know, in a major city. It was kind of like out of the way. But it was along the Pennsylvania border.
Okay. And, well, Don, we're running out of time. But thank you so much for calling back to clarify the state park issue as well. Thank you.
Run.
Okay.
Bye.
And, Gene, do you want to talk a little bit about the state parks that he mentioned? Because he mentioned two. Well, in a state forest. I got lost.
Sure. Yeah. Forked Run or Forked Run, depending on where you come from, I guess. There's a lovely campground there. It is very close to the Ohio River. There's a disc golf course. Lots of fun things to do. A little lake and Shade River State Forest. They are pretty close. You can't camp right on the river, but it is very close by. There's a launch ramp for the river there. It's very nice.
And does anyone know about military museums or places to see?
Well, there's one very nearby in Canal Winchester, a Mott's Military Museum. It's a well-regarded and a private museum, but has some great volunteers and some great displays if you're into the military history.
Okay. And, John, you're stumped on the military?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, then we have just about 2 minutes left, so that's about 30 seconds each to tell something to do either this weekend or over Labor Day. Just your pick. John, do you want to go first?
Sure, I will. I would urge everybody in Columbus, if we're getting a little bit of last summer heat, go up to Geneva State Park. There's a great beach, some hiking trails. It's absolutely lovely. Gene, there's a lodge there, so
yes,
shout out
is.
For you.
Yay,
and then
thanks,
there's
John.
Up until I think the first couple of weeks of September, there's a great little kind of like old-timey strip with a burger joint right in Geneva on the lake. It's a great day trip and a great weekend to spend up there. Absolutely.
And some great wineries up there too.
Absolutely.
That's, I think, a winery and a little bit of fall leaves sounds absolutely perfect.
Can't beat it.
Yes. Steve, what would you like to recommend? Where would you tell people to travel for Labor Day weekend?
Well, I don't know if a Labor Day weekend is a good time, but for a last summer fling, I'd like, again, going up to the lake, maybe going out to Put In Bay or Kelly's Island and kind of doing, you know, bidding the summer goodbye. I mean, that's the ultimate summer getaway for a lot of people. Although I also have to say that as the fall comes up and the islands kind of thin out, it's also a great place to go. The ferries still run actually through the end of November, so you can go up there. When it's a little quieter, and it's very, again, very beautiful in the fall. But for kind of a last summer fling, that's kind of a good place to go.
And Jean, of the dozens of state parks, what one would you like to recommend?
Well, for this weekend, if you haven't been to Lake Hope State Park yet to hand feed the hummingbirds, this weekend is your last chance. And if you want to see some other beautiful winged creatures, Maumee Bay and Van Buren State Parks both have monarch festivals coming up. And check out our calendar of events at ohiostateparks.org, because there is all kinds of stuff to do over Labor Day weekend and through September.
All right. Well, thank you very much. You've been listening to All Sides Weekend. Thanks to Steve Stevens, John Ross, and Gene Bax. And thank you to Sal Pishnary at the controls. This is listener support at WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus. And streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.